time to talk to Kwenga from the from Alam's Attorneys, and today talking about employment contracts. Good morning, Kwenga, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Wayne. How are you today?
Very, very well, thanks. It's Monday, getting ready to get the week up and running again, and I hope the same with you at Alam's Attorneys.
Yes, no, I did have a great weekend indeed.
Great.
Today we'll be speaking about employment contracts. As we know that in South Africa, unfortunately, we are amongst the top three countries which, when it comes to unemployment. However, some people do apply and eventually are employed. So now it's January, you'd consider that many businesses have vacancies that are open to the public.
Mm.
Once a person is, well, sometimes a person, when they apply using emails or they go in person. So once you inform that you've been accepted to commence work at a certain date, so for example, let's say you are told that you'll start work on the first week of the month, which would be, let's say, on the 1st of February. So what happens is that with some companies, you're obligated to go before where they'll give you processes mm-hmm. or around the company. However, some companies will say, come on that first day to commence work. It is required by law, which is governed by the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, Section 29, that an employer should provide the employee with a written contract of employment no later than the first day of the commencement of employment. So what helps with the employment contract, it sets out ground rules for both employer and employee.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously clauses that you can find in the employment contract, such as your name, your full names, the address of the employer, job title, and job description. With the job description, it's very important because you get in situations where, for a particular reason, the company can be short-staffed in a particular day and an employee can be requested to do someone else's work. And you find out that some people totally refuse to engage in that conversation. Mm. Or, for example, even for after hours. So, for example, if your job title says that you will close at 4:30, and then your boss informs you that we'll require you to stay till 5. Some people do actually refuse,
mm-hmm.
and by law they are allowed to. However, bosses of companies are encouraged to consult relative lawyers with labor expertise, which they can protect themselves
mm-hmm.
in situations where they find out that an employee is requested to do more than it was described in the employment contract.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And that would be, you know, sort of being forced to work overtime, which would probably appear somewhere in a well-written contract.
Yes, definitely. Because even when you consider things like overtime, it's obviously a rate. But it's not the rate is not the same as a normal rate. So an employment contract will obviously state that in clear detail. There's other things that could also happen in a company where, for example, I'll make an example. So in a clause, there could be deduction. Fight their bosses about this, or the employer fights the employee.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll make an example where in a company you are required to use Wi-Fi for work purposes only, and then an employee decides to go on Facebook, for example.
Mm.
So then you can find out that if the employment contract is proper, then there will be a ground stipulating how can the deductions happen.
Mm-hmm.
So because essentially a person would have cost the company a couple of rands if they're not utilizing the equipment that they were given.
Mm-hmm.
Even in a courier company, a person can decide, no, I'm going to go home without informing the bosses. So where petrol can be wasted, you know, and it could have been used for other company resources. So generally, there's three types of employees. There's a permanent employee, there's a fixed-term employment, and there's a part-time contract. So we'll start with permanent. Permanent contracts that are there for permanent employees, these are to safeguard the stability of the employee, and it's designed to last up until retirement. However, there's things that can lapse the contract and have it terminated, such as a person resigning, mutual agreement, misconduct, or incapacity to do the work. So obviously, many companies will have the probation period, which for some companies is generally 3 months. However, some could be 6 months. So after probation, if the company is satisfied to what you have to offer, then they can offer you a permanent contract. And that's where everyone would like to be, because it is the safest contract, because in terms of people being let go, if you are in a permanent contract, there's stipulations that an employer would have to follow. So we do have a problem in South Africa where you'll have employees missing Mondays, for example, for whatever reason. So an employer cannot just simply let you go or fire you. They'll give you your first warning, give you a second, and then they'll give you a final warning, and then they'll dismiss you. So obviously, even as an employee, if you have been given so many chances, then you cannot only blame your employer, but you can also blame yourself. So a permanent contract is there to protect both employee and employer.
Right.
And it also puts things like leave. So, for example, there's another thing that employers and employees like to fight about, which are leave days. So permanent contracts, obviously in companies where if a person has worked longer than others, then they are given opportunities and obviously more favorable conditions for long-term service. So leave days are also there, and even with regards to payments. And then we go to part-time employment contracts. Part-time employment contracts are there for many reasons. They're not for long employment, so it could be December holidays or June holidays. Students who feel that they don't want to linger around at home, they want to perhaps go and take up employment. So it could also be in instances where there's maternity leave and then someone is asked to fill in. So there's also stipulations for part-time contracts. However, what an employer needs to consider is that when someone comes for a part-time contract, everything should be stipulated to them, and then everything should be in writing. So what tends to happen is that you could have an interview with someone on a Friday and say, okay, you're starting work on a Monday. And then what happens on that, you think over the weekend as an employer, and then you want to change the terms of the conditions, and they haven't signed yet. So you must let the employee know that in a contract, only if it's signed is it valid. So verbally, yes, because what happens is that so on the Monday when you come, for example, you have consulted now as an employer and you've changed. You want to change one or two clauses, and then they come on Monday and say, no, this is not how it works. So if you had let them know on the Friday that what we're discussing is not permanent, what will be permanent is what will be signed on the dotted line and what will be valid. So employers can also watch out for them.
Okay. And
then there's... Yes,
and I was just going to say the other variants of those contracts also have very specific uses.
Definitely. It's always good for an employee to know where they stand, or even an employer to know where a person stands. For example, in fixed term contracts, it's generally about 3 months, uh-huh. but less than a year.
Okay.
So what employers have done in the past, which the Basic Conditions Act has complained, so what they'll do is that they'll give someone a fixed term contract and then keep on renewing it after every, let's say, 3 months. You know, and that's not favorable for the employee. I know in government they were forced to stop that because it happens. I've found situations where people have been on fixed term contracts, for a period of 8 years. So every year they renew your contract. So that there is a problem because you won't have things such as pension or other benefits, such as them contributing towards your medical aid. So it's always good for everything to be on paper and for people to know where they stand.
Okay. And the other forms of contracts that are available and are legally able to be applied?
Yes. Like I said, you know, when someone is not happy, both employee and employer, like what I've always advised is that employers should have the services of an HR. HR is generally clued up with what contracts need to be given to the people. So sometimes as an employer, you may, like, take, for example, construction. In construction, Monday morning, you're on site, and then you go home after work. You don't have time to sit in front of a computer to draft an agreement. So it's always important, if someone has the necessary funds to employ an HR. However, people can even employ attorneys to draft the contracts on their behalf. At Adams, we are able to draft employment contracts on the behalf of the client, and we are able to make sure that the employees comply with the relevant contract. It's also important even for an employer to contact an attorney or labor law specialist to say, for example, you cannot just fire someone without looking at the code of conduct. Maybe for whatever reason, you as an employer, you feel that the person, for example, if they've got a target of building maybe, let's say, 10 bricks a day, and every day they've been building up to 7. So you cannot just fire them. You just have to follow proper procedure. So what I'd advise is that speak to an attorney, or a labor law specialist, than if you don't have an HR, so that a meeting can be conducted with a relevant employee where things like written warnings can be implemented, which also help protect the company just in case the employee feels that he was aggrieved and they approach services of CCMA where they go report the employer. So it's always good for the employer to also protect themselves and in writing. So don't just give, you can give the first warning, can be a verbal warning, but then after that it has to go to written, because when you're there you'd have to obviously provide provide information, and even in a written warning there will be relevant spaces for witnesses, because people can deny, believe it or not, they can deny that they signed the relevant warning.
And so irrespective, you need to go through those steps, and for the process to be fair for both parties at the end of it, those steps need to be done meticulously, and records kept of transgressions, records kept of responses, correspondence sent out, etc.
Yes, no, definitely, and understanding that. Basic of an employment contract is very vital for both employee and employer. It ensures that the rights are protected and have clarity about their employment. And what also people can do in terms of Section 29, Subsection 2 of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, an employee is allowed to request their contract anytime. So you find that sometimes you sign a contract and then you've been working for 5 years, and then you've actually even forgotten what
was in the contract.
Yes. It can happen. It can happen like that. But a law, you're allowed to request your contract from your employer.
Mm, mm.
So it also helps. And there's things that are also there to protect like employees, like I said. For example, there's the national minimum wage of R27.58, which people like domestic workers find themselves in the unfortunate situation where some people offer to pay them R1,000 per month. And if someone is living in, they could be working from close to about 15 hours a day, you know? Yes, and then they still paid less than R1,000. So if you work it out, I think it goes approximately just after 3,500. So no one should be earning below that. And
right.
An employment contract would clearly set all of those things out.
And I suppose also depends on the sector that you're working in as to what number of hours, how many hours you work, when and what time does overtime kick in, because that's also stipulated in the law as well. You mentioned, for argument's sake, you've got a domestic worker hypothetically working for 15 hours a day. At some point, a lot of those hours would actually be classified as overtime.
Yes. But obviously, you find that there are people who, such as domestic workers, who don't have access to social media or phones to actually research this. I mean, there's an instance where a domestic worker fell pregnant and went on maternity leave. When she came back, the employer told them that they've been replaced. In situations like those, then they can approach labor and CCMA. It's also important for domestic workers where if they sign in contracts for them to be registered and UIF contributions be paid both by the employer and
by the
domestic worker, for example. Yes. Because they can lose their work, and if that happens, then they can go claim for UIF. However, it must be noted that if you are the one who resigns, if you resign, then you won't
UIF benefits. Yes. Yeah. That's something that I think people sometimes don't realize. They think, oh, well, I've been paying UIF. I'm leaving this job. I'll go and claim UIF for 6 months. It doesn't quite work like that. There's certain conditions around that as well.
Yes, no, definitely. But like I said, both employer and employee can approach attorneys such as Alam's attorneys, which we are able to. So even before someone would resign, it would be suitable to approach someone with the relevant information to able to assist you. So you can get a copy of your contract, and then you come sit down with an attorney, and then they'll show you the right way forward. Yes.
Right. And talking about Alam's attorneys, how does one reach Alam's attorneys if you maybe are requiring their services?
Yes, well, people can find us on Facebook under Alam's attorneys. Alam's spelled A-L-L-A-M-S. And then we are also situated on number 6 Stensham Road in Vincent. In Vincent, it's a street with PEP stores. And then people can also contact us on the following number, 043-721-1018, and we are available 24/7.
Right. So you can be contacted and somebody will respond as soon as possible.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. That's...
Kwenga, thank you very, very much for chatting to us today, and looking forward to chatting again next week, Monday, with another edition of Legal Eagle.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks a lot. Cheerio then. That's Kwenga from Alam's attorneys talking to us today and all about labor contracts, employment contracts. And this chat will be on our website, wildcoastradio.co.za, later on today as well.